What's happening locally? The news.
And let us take our look, shall we? Our first look for this week, the local news stories here in the Republic of Panama. The mayor of the Colon district, Diogenes Galvan, found himself faced with a complex situation. He discovered that hundreds of officials were collecting salaries without showing up for work, and more than 20 people were incurring high representation expenses without clear justification. In addition, he found numerous contracts riddled with irregularities. This week, Galvan reported that 28 cars are missing from the Colon municipality, a commune that in the 2019-24 five-year period was under the command of Alex Lee of the Democratic Revolutionary Party, the PRD. The complaint was made after officials from the Directorate of Administration of Seized Assets of the Ministry of Economy and Finance told Galvan that during the administration of Alex Lee, they handed over the vehicles in custody to the municipality of Colon. However, the new mayor of Colon came across a series of other anomalies that he told La Prensa about. For example, he stressed that there were many people who clearly had no functions within the local government but did earn salaries. In this context, he explained that the list was made up of about 1,400 people, and that of that total, about 500 were detected as bottles. These people are being disqualified from their positions, he added, and this is how Galvan describes what he found when he took the office of mayor. It took time because of the complex situation of the municipality. I thought that in 1 or 2 weeks we would have everything ready to go, but no. Regarding the salary of the previous mayor, Galvan said that the amount was close to $10,000, including salary, representation expenses, transportation, allowances, among other benefits, although he only earned $3,500 in salary. He even indicated that it was not just Lee, but several officials. In total, he indicated that there were more than 20 workers from the municipality of Colon with representation expenses. He was also struck by the existence of 5 contracts for an amount of $49,000 each for COVID-19 care dated April of this year. When we had already overcome the issue of the virus, contracts were still being made to acquire supplies that we could not find in the municipality. It is an accumulated amount of almost $250,000, said the new mayor. Faced with this reality, Galvan has scheduled a press conference for next Thursday in which he will provide more details about findings and anomalies in the municipality of Colon. By the way, regarding the vehicles that were in the custody of the municipality of Colon, Galvan said that the cars are not in the municipality's office. The public prosecutor's office, headed by Attorney General Javier Caraballo, has already issued a statement on the matter. In a statement, the Ministry of Finance said that it does not have the authority to decide on the use and custody of provisional seized assets, since they are placed at the disposal of the MEF until the case is decided by the competent court. If any complaints are filed regarding any of the seized assets in the custody of any entity, it is our constitutional and legal duty to initiate the corresponding criminal investigations, the statement said. The Ministry of Economy and Finance assigns the use of temporary custody of seized assets, such as vehicles, to public institutions or non-governmental organizations. In both cases, the custodian assumes responsibility for the insurance coverage of the asset, as well as the costs of its conservation and maintenance while the custody lasts. The ultimate goal is to dispose of these assets for sale or liquidation and for the resulting funds to be transferred to the MEF special account for confiscated assets for subsequent distribution, as established by Law 57 of 2013. By the way, in addition to all those irregularities, Lee left a debt with the Social Security Fund, the CSS, for almost $7 million. In other words, they deducted the employer-employee contribution from the workers, but didn't pay the CSS. Meanwhile, though, tax collection in the San Miguelito municipality is beginning to pick up. Mayor Irma Hernandez said that in the first few days, revenues are beginning to experience growth. For example, the daily record since she took office on the 2nd of July, the amount collected is between $40,000 and $50,000, she said. In our first week of fundraising, we've raised more than in the first weeks of previous administrations, Hernandez said on the program open debate. Now, according to the figures that she handles, during the previous administration, the monthly income was about $600,000, while the expenses exceeded $1 million. Hernandez recalled that the increase in tax collection is due, among other things, to the new strategy being carried out by the municipality. The moratorium for taxpayers of the business, advertising and vehicle circulation tax that was established in Municipal Agreement No. 17 of the 9th of July of this year. Business and advertising taxpayers will have a 25% exemption for all those who pay the full annuity by the 31st of December of this year, as long as they meet the requirements established in the agreement. Taxpayers with any arrears who wish to pay their arrears in full until the 2023 tax period will be forgiven 100% of the interest and surcharges and 100% of the fines. Regarding the business tax payment arrangement, 100% of the interest and surcharges will be waived, as well as 50% as a fine for non-payment that occurred up to the 2023 fiscal period. For the vehicle moratorium, 100% of surcharges and fines will be waived for taxpayers who pay the entire debt for compliance with the vehicle circulation tax generated from the 2023 fiscal period. As for vehicle payment arrangements, 100% of the surcharges and 50% of the fines for non-payment of the tax will be waived. The moratorium hours at the San Miguelito Mayor's collection agencies located in Los Andes and Metro Mall will be Thursday and Friday from 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. and this Saturday and Sunday will be operating from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. The President of the Republic, José Raúl Moreno, appointed Lorenzo Rivera as the new Director of Administration of Seized Assets of the Ministry of Economy and Finance, the MEF. Rivera was the General Director of International Economic Relations at the Ministry of Foreign Affairs. He was also a credit analyst at Chase Manhattan Bank. He also held the position of Credit Officer and Vice President of Marine Midland Bank, N.A., and a Planning Economist at the Ministry of Public Works. He also provided financial consulting for the firm Indesa Capital, Inc. A few days ago, it was revealed that Gustavo Perez, who has been convicted for the crimes of illegal possession of weapons, illegal wiretapping and embezzlement, was aspiring to occupy the position. However, Minister Felipe Chapin assured that Perez would not be in charge of this department. This department is responsible for supervising the custody, maintenance, conservation, and security of assets through their inspection or supervision, as well as taking the necessary measures to ensure their efficient administration, integrity, and preservation. A criminal complaint for the possible commission of a crime against public administration was filed by the Chamber of Commerce, Industries, and Agriculture of Panama, the CCIAP. The appeal was filed by the president of the chamber, Juan Arias, together with the legal team. It's not enough to be indignant. It's time to act, he said. In a statement, the CCIAP explained that the complaint is directed at officials from the Institute for the Training and Utilization of Human Resources, which we know, of course, as IFARU, the Comptroller General of the Republic, or any other state institution, as well as private individuals who have received money improperly, so that the full weight of the law falls upon them, regardless of who it is. It's not just about punishing those responsible, but it's about sending a clear and forceful message. In Panama, we will not tolerate corruption, said the statement. A week ago, the business sector urged the new authorities to file appropriate criminal charges. For the chamber, part of the keys for the country to move towards development reside in education and the improvement of public affairs. Since we learned of the lack of transparency and discretion in the granting of economic aid by IFARU, we realized that we could not remain silent, much less be indifferent to the facts, they added. The CCIAP said that it's unacceptable that those who should ensure the proper use of public resources fail in their duty and betray the trust of the citizens. Therefore, we expect all new officials to conduct themselves in a transparent and honest manner. Furthermore, we demand that the Comptroller General of the Republic reveal once and for all who are the beneficiaries of these financial aids, which he decided to hide without any moral justification. Impunity cannot be an option. The fight against corruption is a shared responsibility. We must all get involved. And only through unity and determination will we be able to build a country of opportunities. This criminal election comes weeks after the scandal and growing public outrage over the discretionary disbursement of millions of dollars during the previous administration led by Laurentino Cortizo in the controversial economic aid program. A database revealed by La Prensa revealed, of course, that 2,144 people benefited between July the 7th of 2019 and the 24th of May of last year. The amount disbursed was $141.6 million. However, these figures only represent part of the complete picture, since the beneficiaries of another 2,759 disbursements are still unknown. That is why the CCIAP urges Gerardo Solis, the comptroller, to reveal the information. Many of the financial aids were allocated to officials and relatives of ministers, deputies, diplomats, state suppliers, members of the Democratic Revolutionary Party, including former President Cortizo. They also granted these aids to people with no apparent financial need. José Raúl Molino, President of the Republic, promised that financial aid will be allocated only to students with merit and whose families have incomes of no more than $2,000 per month. He also assured that IFARU will cease to be a symbol of excesses and favoritism. Construction work on the project expansion to six lanes. This is the beach corridor section La Chorrera Santa Cruz, which is being developed towards West Panama, continues to be carried out, and as of June the 26th, work progress was 81%. The work should be completed by the 28th of November, according to the Ministry of Public Works. Now, currently, the 1.7-kilometer bridge has already been built in the La Pesa sector of La Chorrera. At this point, the new Joyce walls have already been placed, the viaduct has been asphalted, the lighting has been installed, the viaduct drainage works have been carried out, and the signage has been placed, among other aspects. The viaduct was built with six lanes, three towards the interior and three towards Panama City, while in the lower part, the four existing lanes will be maintained for local traffic, such as buses, taxis, businesses and other vehicles that need to move between communities. The project, which is 4.4 kilometres long, also includes the rehabilitation of the four lanes of the Inter-American Highway from the highway exit to the El Nazareno sector in La Chorrera. In the Panama West sector, there is a daily traffic flow of more than 80,000 vehicles, which is why residents are already demanding more quality road infrastructure. However, delays in the works kept traffic heavy in this sector, added to other projects such as the construction of Metro Line 3. The works that have been carried out include the installation of drainage under the viaduct, relocation of drinking water and electrical utility pipes, the construction of piles, the construction of Los Calderones and La Arenosa return, as well as the construction of the pedestrian crossing of Loma Brigda, Brigida and Via Marea in Capira, among other tasks. The work, which is being carried out by Grupo Puentes y Calzadas Infraestructuras, SUL, or SLU rather, the Panama branch, has cost $282,181,670.70, of which there is a financial advance of $67,040,150.66. That's 23.76%. This contract was assigned by the MOP to this company on the 24th of August in 2022 through addendum number 2 when Rafael Sabon served as Minister of the Portfolio. It should be remembered that this project has its origins in the administration of Juan Carlos Varela, when on the 22nd of May of 2018 the order to proceed was given to the Corredor de las Playas Consortium, made up of the companies FCC Construcción, SA and CICSA. It consisted of 32.5 kilometres of road at a cost of $603 million. However, the work was stopped in 2021 and transferred to another company with a budget cut and leaving over 6 kilometres of construction. That's it. There we go. There's our look. There's quite a bit to get through this morning. Just shows you Well, a little bit of how the apple was rotten to the core. But anyway, there we go. That's some of the local news stories compiled for you for this morning's programme.